Okay, so yes, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'll do whatever you want me to do, however you want to.
Yes, please.
Introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Mary Martinez.
Yes.
I'm a painting student at the moment.
We kind of wanted to ask you how you felt about your teacher asking you to, and being accepted as one of the artists to represent the project, how you felt about, you know, the initial kind of like, hey, we would like you to do this.
I was really honored and excited about the prospect of, you know, being a part of this project.
Yeah.
And Mariam Stefan, our painting professor through this project, she like went about the project in a way to which all of the students in Painting 3 were able to have a painting be represented in the final mm-hmm. outcome. So it wasn't like we were competing for a space.
Mm.
And it wasn't like she, you know, she had to make a selection out of all the students in her Painting 2 and 3 combined class. So that was really nice that we were all, from the beginning, we were just working together,
right.
Kind of in it together,
mm.
struggling a little bit. Together, but it was really exciting getting told first thing that we're going to be thrown into this crazy project. Because the first day of Painting 3, Mariam was telling us how the semester was going to go, basically. So the first day of painting, Mariam was just telling us how the semester was going to go, and she was basically like, you're going to die this semester. I think that was verbatim what she said. She said, yes, you're going to die. Because she knew that the workload was going to be crazy. So yeah, from right out of the gate, we knew that we were in it for the long haul, and we had a lot of work ahead, but it was exciting.
Did you guys go into the class knowing that you guys were going to do this? Or is it something that was like, hey, by the way, this is happening like halfway through the semester? Like, when did you know?
It was totally unexpected. Nobody knew going into the class, signing up for the class, that we were going to be a part of this project. But it was that first day. It was written into the syllabus. So we had some idea of, like, what it was going to look like, kind of. And she explained it very briefly, because this is the first time it's ever been done.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't entirely know exactly how it was going to go, because, you know, timing is... It changes depending on people's schedules and all that. But, first day of the class, she let us know that this was happening, so nobody knew that this was going to be a project that we were kind of... given in addition to our Painting 3 projects.
So a lot of work going on, just in general.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
So I guess like going, when you started the project, you obviously interviewed with, how do you pronounce the name?
Afia.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we thought. Okay. So how did your interaction with Afia help begin your brainstorming for your work? And like, how did this interaction help create like your final piece?
It was basically like everything for all of the students. It was everything that we created came specifically from the person that we interviewed. So it was like we were creating these artworks based on their lives and, you know, their experience being visually impaired to whatever degree they are visually impaired, and, you know, however that affected them in their entire span of their life. And we were kind of given the task of representing them. Which proved to be a challenge, like trying to understand a world that's totally not your own,
mm-hmm.
and like not trying to offend them in any way, and you know, do it respectfully and like to the best of your ability with the information that you have being cited. But yeah, everything that I put into the paintings was directly taken from what she wanted or her life. So it kind of, we went, the first interview, I had a couple with her. The first one, I asked her, you know, what, if you could create any piece of artwork, what would you create? And then she gave me some ideas. And then I played around with those concepts that she gave me. But that was like a little bit tough because she had some kind of imagery of like somebody breaking free of chains. But then the chains ended up being like too like dark or too negative to be on like the side of a building and to go with the idea of, you know, positivity and visually impaired people are just like everybody else. So then throughout the course of our interviews and talking, discourse, it totally changed. So like it leaned more towards just being based off of her life experience and not so much imagery that she wanted to see represented.
So can you tell us a little bit about Afia's story?
Yeah.
Like, expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so she began losing her sight around, I think it was 9 years old. And she still has some of her sight. She's losing her sight still progressively, but she has her peripheral vision. She kind of explained it to me like, on a good day, she worded it really awesomely. It was like she can see as much as her cane can see on a good day in the daytime. So she can still like navigate sometimes without her cane, but then if it's like dark, she can't see entirely. And she is from Louisiana originally. She came here about 6 or 7 months ago, specifically to work at the Industries of the Blind. And her story was basically like a lot of kind of tragic things happened to her in her life. And that is where I pulled my imagery from. Because when she had her first children, or her first child, because she was visually impaired, the child was taken away from her when it was born. I can't remember if it was her son or her daughter, but the child was taken away from her, and then she had to fight and carry out this long process just to be able to have her child, you know, have quote-unquote access to her child, which is just insane, you know? It's her baby. But then her second child, they knew that she was fully capable of, you know, taking care of a child, so they didn't even worry about it. And they let her just take the baby home. And her outlook is really awesome. Like, she was able to laugh at that and, like, joke about it. She was like, they knew it was me and, like, my second baby. I had done this before. She was able to, like, joke about something so serious. And then she was telling me, like, how her education was totally... she was able to get an education still, but she had to, like, work twice or three times as hard as people who were sighted just to get the same quality of education. And, like, professors would help her, but a lot of times it was just, like, a challenge with other students and, you know, trying to keep up with everybody. So she did have access to stuff like that, but it was just like she had to work and fight that much harder to have access to human rights and stuff.
Yeah. Things that, like, we take for granted, for sure. So you meet up with Afia a couple times, have a couple interviews with her at this point. What is your creative process like once you absorb the information that she gives you? Like, do you do preliminary sketches? Do you do, you know, what just talk about your creative experience.
So that was definitely the hardest part, just kind of not the creative process itself, I think, but I guess coming up with the imagery, going from the interviews to the actual artwork. But yeah, definitely a lot of preliminary sketches and just trying to get ideas on paper, just brainstorm a lot of different ideas. Because I was trying to, like, get it as quote-unquote right as I could, because I didn't know how, like, what was the best imagery to have that didn't seem too light and almost silly, but I didn't want it to be too heavy, too, you know, sad looking. If it's meant to celebrate and show equality. So there were just a lot of sketches, a lot of brainstorming ideas. And then from there, it would get narrowed down to ideas that I liked the best. And I would try different mediums. Like I did a couple oil paintings and watercolor paintings of each image that I narrowed those sketches into. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, pretty much once I had the three final images that I wanted, I just refined those for like the last month, or maybe like a couple, 2-3 weeks. I just like refined the three final images that we wanted to show the board of the, all the employees and the heads of the industries of the blind.
So I guess, like, going back, like, in your life, what got you, like, into art? Like, what made you want to become an artist?
It's hard to say, because I just have been making art and, like, drawing and doodling since I can remember. But I'd say probably reading a lot when I was a kid and having illustrated books, like, I think especially people like Shel Silverstein and, what's his name? Jackson, who did Harold and the Purple Crayon?
Jackson
Crocker, I think his name is, or Crocker Jackson, something like that. But yeah, I definitely say artists and illustrators like that, seeing the kinds of worlds that they created and stories they were able to tell through imagery.
Crockett Johnson,
yes.
Okay.
Crockett Johnson and Shel Silverstein, I would say, are probably like two biggest inspirations of my childhood. Yeah, they just wanted me to, or they made me want to tell stories through art.
So you kind of said they created their own worlds. So I guess my question, or my just something that I'm interested in hearing about, is for this project specifically, is that something that you focused on, like, throughout the project? Did you want to paint that world that Afia was living in? Did you want to, like, get inside of her head and kind of just... Because we are living in a completely different reality than she is, right? Like, we're just blind people in general. Like, taking away one of the senses is, like, a huge thing. Your whole perception on everything is completely shifted. So is that something that you kind of wanted to bring to the light?
I think definitely that was a big part of it, wanting to create her world. But then I also had to remember that this is for, it's going to be viewed mainly, I think, by sighted people, like passing it quickly on, what is that street?
Westgate.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, they're going to be going by kind of quickly, or they're going to be walking by. Mm. So I had to keep in mind that I do want it to be a world that that is like easily understood by somebody who's not fully aware of the context of the image and Afia's story. But I definitely did want to create like the characters, if you can call her that, and like her children, because the image that was chosen for the final artwork is Afia and her two kids walking down a New Orleans street. And I did want to create that world, I think mostly through like the emotion shown between mother and her children, and like that bond that they have, and also like the city that they are in and that vibrancy. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. I never really thought about it as like throughout the process. I didn't think about it as like creating a world that is like untapped by the sighted. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that totally. That's kind of why I was interested in it. So I know you kind of touched on the piece that was selected already. And that's definitely something that we're going to cover for sure in the interview. But I kind of want to focus on this series of questions here, just because, you know, I feel like it's interesting. We feel like it's interesting to really get in the mind of the artist as well as what or who they're drawing. Do you feel like this kind of experience of doing interviews and going out and getting another person involved, right? Like, did you learn new techniques? Did you implement new kind of ways that you're making your art, or how did that go, or if any?
Totally. I've never created an artwork that was totally based on like somebody else's experience, and you know, not entirely from my own creation. This is like a public piece, which is really awesome. Just as a little aside.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, this was a really great experience in understanding that kind of world of having to, you know, communicate with people outside your normal world and people that you would regularly talk to and interact with. So kind of expanding that and having, like, being required to go conduct these interviews with people that I would never go talk to employees at any sort of, like, business or factory. So, yeah, just kind of being pushed to do that, being forced to do that. I say forced, but, I mean, we were willing and wanting to do this. It really kind of made me more aware of like the world beyond myself and like the art world, and kind of new concepts that I would never have thought to create just from using my own background and like my own history and knowledge.
Oh, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I think just like having like a nice kind of series and like set of steps that we had to follow, and then knowing that we were going to be kind of presenting our creations to the employees at the end of the semester. And we had to sort of be professional about it. It totally changed the way we made our work and the way we, you know, conducted ourselves.
So then, what has like led you, or like what led you to come to UNCG? Like, what was your like journey to get to UNCG in like your like 4 years here?
Going on a 5, right?
yeah, 4.5. My journey to get
here?
Yeah,
like what, like, I guess, like,
why did you choose UNCG? Like, what made you want to come here? And then, like, as you've been here, what has made you want to stay here? What's made you, like, want to be, I guess, like, super? Because I know you're very involved, like, within the art program. So, like, what has made you want to become, like, so involved? And yeah.
Well, I first decided to come here because my brother went to school here for his undergrad and his master's degree. And then just from, like, visiting and him talking the school up, I found out that they had a really good art department and theater department, and they're, like, well-known, not only in, like, North Carolina, but, you know, in some places around the country. We have, you know, the Weatherspoon, which is, like, a nationally highly regarded art museum. Definitely that was, like, a huge reason I wanted to come here, was for the how awesome the departments are. And then once I was here, it was just, you know, immediately falling in love with the professors, the building, all of the resources we have here. You know, we have a wood shop, we have a foundry and ceramic room, and really just, like, the sense of community within the art department. And, you know, the professors do all they can to continue to, like, build that community and keep it going. And we have, you know, the GPS downtown where students are able to have shows. And, I mean, it's crazy how much awesome stuff we have access to just by being students here. And definitely I try to stay involved as much as possible just because I love the people here, and I love how tight-knit of a community it is. And I mean, I honestly get sad, like, at the end of semesters, like this, you know, the print room's empty now and the building's empty, but I love the energy, the vibe that the building has, and all the art students, they're great.
So you said you were teaching now. Mm-hmm. What are you teaching exactly?
So over the summer, I was teaching at the Center for Visual Artists downtown. I was teaching some summer camp courses, and I taught, it was fourth through sixth graders, and I taught them a sketchbook class, kind of how to build their own sketchbook and fill it full of all these different life drawings and drawing from nature, and we'd go out and I would give them, you know, tasks. They would have to draw a certain amount of people, a certain amount of buildings, and we would take turns and have live models the students would pose for each other. And of course I had to, like, sneak some printmaking in there. I taught what was the name of the class? I think it was figure drawing or something like that. It was, like, drawing people. I got them to draw portraits of their family, but in printmaking, in linoleum cuts. And then I'm supposed to be teaching a printmaking class, but for adults, this coming spring semester.
Mm.
Hopefully that works out. I was supposed to teach it last fall, but we didn't have anybody who signed up for it because we don't have a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
We need a little bit of help with, like, marketing and, like, getting the word out about it. But hopefully more people will sign up for it in the spring. I think that's all I taught.
So, I mean, kind of having done a deep dive, if you will, on just everything art and you, we wanted to kind of to focus on the specific process of getting your work, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you made three total pieces, and then one out of the three were selected. So can you kind of walk us through all of the pieces that you kind of created and why you think the one that was selected? Like, why specifically that one as opposed to the other two?
Yeah, so for the three that I ultimately ended up putting the most time and energy into, after all the sketches and the deciding which imagery I liked the best, I decided going with two paintings that were the same image but done in two different techniques. One was watercolor and then one was an oil painting. And those two were an image of, the one I was talking about earlier, where it's Afia walking with her two children down a New Orleans city street. And there's a jazz band in the background and you know, like ferns and cast iron railings and bright, colorful buildings. I really just wanted to kind of give them an option of like the richness of oil paint and, you know, the delicate kind of touches of watercolor washiness. And also like the biggest difference between the two, and which is the main reason they chose the watercolor, was because the outline of the figures was actually done using the printmaking technique, screen printing, which is, it was originally, I was going to do this as a lithography print, just the outlines of the figure, and then do the rest of it as a painting. And I wanted to do that specifically because of the kind of the stuff I was talking about earlier, like how the visually impaired don't have access or some of the basic human rights that everybody should have, like the right to education, the right to their own children. And then something else that Afia was telling me about was how a lot of people are denied jobs just because they're visually impaired, not even like fully blind, just because they don't have full sight. People will straight up be like, you can't have this job, but then make up some excuse like, we're just not hiring right now, but it'll be because they are visually impaired. And that's a lot of the people that are at the industries of the blind, that's like their only option to work there because nobody else will hire them. And so like the right to education, children, a job, and, you know, money and your independence. The idea of like the visually impaired don't have basic human rights. And like they have to work just as hard for those foundational things. I wanted to kind of create that sort of idea in the foundation of the image, like the figures being the foundational element. I wanted to do that with a printmaking technique that is more labor intensive and like time intensive, because that, you know, printing that one outline of the figures, that took me like a couple hours. When I could have just drawn it in with a pen.
Right.
But even though it's not obvious when you're looking at it, I just wanted that, like, symbolism to be there and that kind of allusion to, like, they have to work so much harder for that foundational right. Yeah. And that, I let them, when we kind of presented our three pieces, I talked about that, how I did that process, and then ultimately they liked that over the difference visually. They liked the concept and that meaning in the watercolor piece more than the other one, which was just the image. And that's why they ended up choosing that one. And then my third image was Afia and her two children in a grocery store. And that was just to kind of showcase how the visually impaired are just like everybody else. They do everyday things. They go to the grocery store. They're able to live their life and do daily tasks like anybody else. And that was another way to show that that bond and that closeness between Afia and her two children, because she was telling me all these stories and anecdotes about like how her daughter will put her hand inside her pocket and then kind of lead her around and help to guide her, which I thought was just really cute. And so in both of the images, her daughter's hand is inside of her pocket, and then holding on to the side of the buggy or the shopping cart, and kind of pointing out items in the grocery store to show that how they kind of work together, and they're just able to do things differently, but they're still able to do things, and with that same amount of love for each other and their mom or her children.
I'm sorry, yes. Okay, yes, so more specifically, why did you create this piece? I think you already explained it, but...
Not why, but specifically, they selected you said the watercolor one, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
with the printmaking element in it?
With the printmaking element. And I know you already touched on it a little bit, but we kind of want to have your voice there while people are looking at the piece. So can you like break down some details about the piece that you kind of want people to see?
Yes.
And kind of notice right when they look at it?
Kind of like just a description,
yeah.
Like subjectively of like what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And just important things that you put in there that you think are important to kind of take into consideration.
Okay. Definitely, I think the main focus of the image is Afia walking with her daughter, and her daughter's hand is inside of Afia's pocket, and her son is to her other side, and they're holding hands. They're walking down a busy street in New Orleans, and there's a lot of... I tried to create a lot of vibrant colors and sounds. I wanted to give the painting a feeling or like a visual sort of
representation.
Yeah, a representation of just like a lot of energy, and like you can hear the streets and the jazz bands in the background, and you can kind of feel the breeze almost, and so yeah, behind them is a jazz band of three band members, and then they're walking down a street, and there's ferns and railings along the brightly colored buildings. And I think the main concept and sort of drive behind the imagery is really that focus on that like mother and child bond, and how they're all close. Not only like physically, they're all very close, but there's that like close emotional bond between them. And Afia in the image has on sunglasses and a cane, a walking cane, to be representative of, you know, her visual impairment. And that was something I talked with Afia about. I asked her just because I wanted to be very clear about that, and I wanted her own opinion on, you know, what's a good way to represent somebody who is visually impaired. And yeah, she said she wanted me to... It was okay, because a lot of people do have sunglasses on, because even though they might not be able to use their eyes, they can still damage their eyes in the sun. So that's fine to have sunglasses on and to have a cane, because a lot of people do use a cane. But she did want me to make it known that once she's in Louisiana, she puts the cane away and she's able to like navigate 100% without a cane or without any help. She knows exactly where she is. But just for the audience of sighted people, I wanted them to be aware that this is somebody who has a visual impairment, but there is still, you know, that love and ability to, you know, navigate and be her own person with her children.
So how do you think your work will impact the community, like when they see it?
I hope that it kind of just allows people to maybe not be intimidated or like afraid to get in touch with the community of the visually impaired people. Because I know, at least for me, I had no idea like what went on in that building. I didn't know that there was a whole community of people in there that are like so sweet and kind and welcoming. Every single time we were there, they were just the sweetest people, and they were always so excited and happy to see us, just joking and having a great time. And I hope it kind of breaks down some sort of barrier, like divide between the communities. Because there's just not enough of like communication, I don't think, between the two. And I think it's just from a lack of knowing, or like just a lack of, you know, people not knowing what is going on inside the building, because it's kind of mysterious. You know, it's just a big solid brick building, and that was kind of the whole purpose of this project, was just to, you know, bring people in, and so the building wasn't just like a big scary brick building. They wanted some artwork on the walls, because there aren't any windows on the building. I'm not sure what I'm expecting to happen, but I know that I'm hoping that it kind of changes how people view the building and their interaction with the building, for sure. And the people in the building, of course.
Right. Yeah. So I guess kind of branching off of that, so you've already said it's great, right, that this is happening. It's great that they're putting you guys' work, and UNCG is even, you know, going in there and creating that collaboration between art students and the industry of the blind. And we see a little bit more in the city, I'd say, of the art community kind of embracing local minorities, and things of that nature. I guess from that, I'm kind of curious, having this project in mind, what other things do you kind of want, ideally, to see going on in the community? Do you want more of just specific minorities being focused on, or like how do you want us as artists? How do you want the art community to kind of respond to local maybe barriers that are put in by society? How do you think you would resolve this scenario?
That's tough, but I think we really just need to kind of start working together more, and even on like small scales, you know, just trying to do some sort of collaboration with maybe not even a group of people, but like just one other person that you would totally never do a collaboration with, just to see, you know, to learn something new. Because I would never have done this on my own, not out of like, you know, fear or anything, but just from like lack of, I don't know, resources, I guess, or like not having any sort of connection to that community. I don't know. I guess I don't know if it's maybe a problem. I mean, there is definitely a problem of like not having enough representation of like minorities, but I think if different groups are able to like work together more just to, you know, have personal growth and learn more about other communities, that is like one way to kind of like start out smaller to a degree and like grow from there. So we just kind of have more knowledge and we're able to kind of grow progressively more, you know, like have an art show with totally different type of art. You know, like I do a lot of self-portraits. I could have like try to have a show with like, I don't know, a graffiti artist or something, because I don't know anything about that world. I, you know, maybe try to do something like that. But I don't know, maybe. We just need more communication, more collaboration with people we don't normally talk to, because this has been a really eye-opening experience.
I kind of want to use the last couple of minutes to kind of wrap it up and to maybe, from this experience with you, I'll let Julia, I mean, if Julia has any specific questions that she kind of wants to ask you about the experience or about just your art in general, let that go down. I know I have some questions. Julia, do you have any specifics? No? So
I'm sorry.
I kind of want to know, I think it's interesting. So, well, first and foremost, I want you to plug your art. I want you to plug what you're working on, whether it be alongside of this project or now, currently, right now in this moment, or just stuff about your, you know, whatever creative process or, you know, interesting stuff that are happening in your life.
Well, I don't think I have any like major art projects or anything going on right now. Just because, you know, class is kind of my main focus. I am trying to do more like large scale self portraits.
I've seen the one out there. I like it, but yeah, yeah. I've seen it.
And yeah, I'm gonna be working on some pieces for an upcoming project or a show at the Center for Visual Artists, which will be, I don't know when the date is. Should I look that up?
Honestly, that was gonna be my question. Like, what do you up to now? Yeah. What do you plan on doing later?
No, totally.
What's up?
It's important to plug your work, you know, because you have a pretty important role in all of this.
Yeah. Okay, so the show that I am going to be in is, oh, I should say hopefully going to be in, is Self-Recognition Through the Other, which is going to be at the Center for Visual Artists February 7th through March 28th. 2020.
Ooh, ooh.
I have a piece or possibly two in that.
Nice. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Do you have things that are just brewing around in your mind that you kind of want to talk about that you're thinking of doing in the future? Or are you just being present as much as possible and you kind of want to just focus on that?
Kind of. My mind's like on planning out my series of paintings for capstone painting next semester.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where my mind has been in terms of my art from like moving forward from here, trying to kind of focus in and hone in on like a certain concept or series. And then also kind of taking that idea and trying to figure out something that I can keep working on and adding to for like the next year or two that I can put towards my grad school applications. But it's definitely going to be driven by self-portraiture and you know, kind of tackling the emotions that I can connect with other, that hopefully other people are like able to connect to within my pieces. Still trying to work it out.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I have another question for you right before we kind of wrap it up. I'm kind of interested in, do you think that an institutional school environment is necessary? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What would you say about, you know, not just UNCG, but kind of taking your experience in UNCG and kind of looking around and looking at the world? Do you think that that's an important thing to have, or do you, how do you feel about that?
I think it's totally dependent on, you know, the individual. I wouldn't say it's necessary, but for me, it's definitely necessary. I mean, I can't even imagine what the heck I'd be doing or like where I would be in my terms of my art career if it wasn't for UNCG. And I just know that I think it's like so important for myself to have, you know, that structural foundation and knowledge for the past 4 years and going on 5 years of like, and that's why I decided to like come back, because I felt like I wasn't fully ready to, you know, start my own solo career as an artist, because I didn't have all the information I needed. I still had so much left to learn and like foundational levels. So I think it, you know, educational systems are, they're so important, but you know, they're not necessary for everybody. But for the people that they are necessary for, they're like really necessary for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Because you know, you can make it on your own if you don't go to school, if you just have like, you know, the drive and the wherewithal to do it. But you know, I just wanted to have that solid like framework of, this is basic stuff, like just foundational learning. So yeah, for me personally, I am a huge fan of school.
Well, I mean, with that, I, you know, me, Dimitri, and Julia.
Hello. Just sitting here.
And Mary Martinez. With that, we wrap up our interview, and we really appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule to come and talk with us and tell us a little bit more about you, your art, your creative process, and just everything in between, and specifically this project that the UNCG School of Art collabed with the Industry of the Blind, and also AFIA, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to everyone for making this happen, and catch you next time.